Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Mishus Rabbi Schreier. Baruch Hashem, welcome back. So the Gemara says in Tainus and Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph, when it describes the occasions that happen on Tisha B'Av, so the Gemara says, B'Tisha B'Av Charev Habayis Barishona. On Tisha B'Av is when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. As we know, subsequently the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but when the Gemara goes into the details of the first Churban Beis HaMikdash, it says as follows, B'Shiva Nichnusu Nachrim LaHeichal. On the seventh day of Av, all the non-Jews came into the Heichal, they stormed the Heichal. V'Achlu V'Kilkulu Bo Shvi U'Shmini. And they sat there and they were having a party and they were being Mechalal the Beis HaMikdash on the seventh and eighth day of Av. Tishi, on the ninth day of Av, which we call Tisha B'Av, Samach L'Chashecha, Hitzisu Bo Sa'ur. That's when they lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire, it was on the ninth of Av. V'Hayadolik V'Holech Kol Yom Kulo. It was burning the entirety of the ninth day. Shanemar Olanu Kifana Hayom Ki Inatu Tzalalei Ar. V'Hainu Damar Rabbi Yochanan El Malah Hayisi B'Dar Ha'Oso Ador. If I was living in that generation when the Churban Beis HaMikdash actually happened, Lo Kavativ Ela Ba'Asiri, I would have said that Tisha B'Av, really, the most appropriate time for it should have been on the tenth day. Why? M'pnei Sharuva Shal Heichal Bo Nisraf. The Gemara says that they lit the fire close to the Shkia on the ninth day. So really, most of the flames, most of the Churban Beis HaMikdash happen on the tenth day. So really, why do we have, ask the Gemara, why do we assume that Tisha B'Av should be observed on the ninth day of Av? Says the Gemara, Rabbanan Aschalta de Puranusa Adifa. Again, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that since the beginning, since Rove of the Churban happened on the tenth day, really we should be keeping the tenth day of Av as Tisha B'Av. However, the Rabbanan hold, the Chachamim hold that Aschalta de Puranusa Adifa, which means that you go after the beginning. And since the beginning of the tragedy happened on the ninth day of Av, therefore, we observe this terrible time on Tisha B'Av and not on Asir B'Av. What you see from here is that beginnings are extremely important. Beginnings are what set the tone for everything that is going to follow. We actually find this when they were Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says in Maseches Tamin, Miyericho Hayishomen Kol Hashir Shel Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, even from Yericho, which was not so close to Yerushalayim, they were able to hear Kol Hashir. They were able to hear the Shir in the Beis HaMikdash all the way from Yericho. And they were able to hear Kol HaShofar. V'yeshomim, says the Gemara, Av Kol HaShol Kohen Gadol. They were even able to hear the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he said the Shem HaMeforosh, those who were in Yericho, not close at all, they were able to hear the Shem HaMeforosh being uttered by the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Ravid there in his Pirush on Tamid. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Ravid on Tamid is not the same Ravid. Anyone know? I don't think it's the same Ravid as the famous Ravid, but it is one of the Rishonim. So the Ravid writes, Omori HaRav HaChassid Zal Omer. I don't know who he's referring to, his Rebbe, the Chassid. But the Ravid writes as follows, the Kol Hanach de Katani Shayu Nishmaim Yericho. The Gemara here that says in Tamid that in Yericho they were able to hear the Shem HaMeforosh being uttered by the Kohen Gadol, and they were able to hear the Shir being sung in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were able to hear the Kol HaShofar in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Ravid, what was all that about? Maisa Nisim Haya. That was a nace, that was a miracle. Naturally it doesn't make any sense. Why should you be able to hear the singing in the Beis HaMikdash all year in Yericho? It's not close at all. V'davka b'Yericho Nishma v'lo b'shar tzedadim. They weren't able to hear the singing in all the cities along the way till Yericho. It was only a direct connection from the Beis HaMikdash to Yericho. They were able to hear the Shira, the Zimra, they were able to hear the Shofar, but no other community was able to hear. Why? Mipnesha Yericho Haisa Kemo Yerushalayim. Because Yericho was considered in some level like Yerushalayim. Why so? Mipnesha Hi Haisa Tchilas Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Because Yericho was the first place that they captured when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Just like the first part of every time you do a harvest, you have to give that to the Kohanim. Kach nitruma Eretz Yisrael. So to the first part of what we conquered in Eretz Yisrael became, so to speak, consecrated. That became holy. Yehoshua designated Yericho to be a makam kadosh. Lefikach hi kamo Yerushalayim v'hayu nishmaim bo kol hanach deketani kidei she'argishu ba b'nei adam. In order that people should feel in Yericho, why these miracles happen in Yericho, how come you're able to hear this Levim singing Shira only in Yericho? In order that people should know clearly, She Yericho, Yeshba Kemo Keng Tzas Kedusha Kemo B'Yerushalayim. What do you see? The beginning of any religious entity that happens, of any religious experience that starts, the beginning is what's Koveya, the whole thing. And there's a special significance that's given to the beginning. Yericho over here is endowed with a quasi Kedushas Yerushalayim. There are special Nisim that happen in Yericho only because that was the beginning of the experience of capturing Eretz Yisrael and of giving Kedushas Haaretz. The Medrash actually writes in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, it says, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Masna Amar, b'zchus shlosha dvarim niver ha'olam. The world was created in the schus of three mitzvahs that were going to come later on in history. Number one, b'schus hachala. Number two, b'schus hamaisrus. And number three, b'schus habikurim. What is that all about? Says the pasuk, ma'atam, why do we say that bikurim has some connection to Bereishis Bara Elokim? Because by bikurim it says, Reishis, Arisoseichem, right? You have to bring everything from the beginning. And over here it says, Reishis Bara Elokim. By Chala it says, Reishis Arisoseichem is by Chala. And over there it says, Reishis Bara Elokim. By Maisus it says, Reishis Digancha. By Bikurim it says, Reishis Bikuri Ad Mascha. From all this we learn that they have some connection to Briyas HaOlam, and we assume that that is why the world is created. Why? Because what you see is that we're trying to emphasize the fact that beginnings are very, very important. And Bikurim, and Chala, and Maisur, is that which we do at the beginning of everything that we are involved with, is going to be Koveya, how the end is going to come out. That's what our Gemara seems to say over here, that Aschalta de Paranusa Adifa. Unfortunately, in this case, it works in the opposite direction. But when you have something terrible, a bad experience that happens, there's a special significance that's given to the beginning of that experience, to how that starts. It's actually interesting. The Ger Rebbe writes a very interesting insight. We'll save it for Sukkot, but we can say it now. Small crowd. So it says by the Dalad Minim, Ulukachtam Lachem by Yom Harishon. So says the Ger Rebbe, he pointed out that in Sefer Koheles, it says, Tov Achris Dover Me Rishiso. So he said, Al Derech HaMachshava, maybe it means that Tov Achris Dover, you want to have a good end? Me Rishiso. That's only going to happen if you have a good Rishis, if everything starts off well. And he said, maybe that's the Pshat. Ulukachtam Lachem by Yom Harishon. Everything that you want to have in your life, lakachtam lachem, you want to have a takeaway, you want to have something that's going to have a kiyum, that's going to last with you forever, it's only by Yom HaRishon. It depends how you started on the Yom HaRishon of that experience, of that endeavor. If you started the Daf Yomi, and you started off strong and you're all excited, maybe you'll have a kiyum. If you did it and you were shvach in the beginning, and you were falling asleep, and you weren't excited about it, and it wasn't going well, then perhaps that's not going to have such a good kiyum. The Pnei Yeshua has a very famous kasha, many achronim discuss it. The Gemara has in Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph. We know that there was a miracle in the days of the Hashmonaim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nes and he provided them with Shem and Tahar. So the question that many Achronim deal with, but the first one is the Pnei Yeshua, so he asks, why was it necessary to have this miracle in the first place? Don't we know a klal in the Gemara? Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Don't we know that if the entire Tzibur is Tamei, we know that you are allowed to go ahead and use something that's Tamei. You're allowed to go ahead and disregard the fact that there's Tumah. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go out of his way? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like to do miracles unnecessarily. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to go out of his way and provide Shem and Tahar? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give us something that was an extra miracle if in fact we could have used Shem and Tamei? What's the problem? Why do we need the miracle at all? This is the kasha that the Pnei Yeshua asked. So there are many important answers that are given, and many important questions that are asked on the question. Number one, who said Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur would apply here? We know that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur only applies to a certain type of Tumah, not to every type of Tumah. So the Pnei Yeshua's kasha in the first place might not be so simple. So leaving that aside, let's assume that his question is a good question. The answer that Rabbi Yosef Engel and many others write is the following. Yes, you're right that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Yes, you're right that if you're stuck in a generation and everyone's Tameh, you can be Makar V'Karbon B'Tzibur. However, over here, this was the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. In the times of the Hashmonaim, they were reinstalling the Avod and the Beis HaMikdash. What are you going to say? We should start off on the wrong foot? We should start off doing a B'Dievet, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur? How can you do such a thing? So therefore, the Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do a miracle to make sure that everything would start off on the perfect foot, because if you start Avod in the Beis HaMikdash on the wrong foot, if it doesn't go off on the right way, if you're going to start on a B'Dievet, it's not going to come out to be a successful future of the Avodah in that particular place. And that's the way Rabbi Yosef Engel answers the kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. This is also the question that the Rishonim ask in Maseches Yuma. Why is it that we find in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, it says Bahaloscha as Haneiros means Aaron HaKohen had the mitzvah to light the Neiros in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that, asked the Rishonim? Don't we know that Halakha is Ksheir Bazar? Don't we know that even a non-Kohen is also allowed to light the menorah? So why do we find that Bahaloscha as Haneiros, why did Aaron HaKohen specifically have to be the one to light the menorah? Don't we know that anyone could light the menorah? So why is he given? Give it to someone else. Give it to somebody else who's not as busy as Aaron HaKohen, being Oyv Shalom V'Rodiv Shalom. Let someone else do it. No. So says the Meshech Chachma, the Rishonim there give all sorts of answers why it had to be Aaron, but then Meshech Chachma answers the reason why is because this was the first time the menorah is being lit. And the first time it's being lit, the first time you do an avodah, the first time you consecrate a menorah, has to be done in the best way possible. So who are we going to give more than Aaron HaKohen? He's the greatest person to be mechabed, to do the first time. And therefore we know if Aaron HaKohen is going to be involved the first time, it's going to get off to a good start, it's going to get rolling in a good direction, and there's nothing to worry about in the future. So that's why perhaps, says the Meshech Chachma, it had to be given specifically to Aaron HaKohen. So you'll say, this is a nice Achronish of art, it's a nice Vardah Meshech Chachma, it's a nice Rabbi Yosef Engel, but in fact the Ran writes this as well. The Rana has a Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel. An interesting question. Klal Yisrael seemingly offered a carbon Omer in the Midbar as well. So the Gemara wants to know, Omer shehikrivu Yisrael ba-Midbar mehechan haisa. Mehechan ikrivu. Where did they bring the carbon Omer from in the first year? The first year was in the Midbar, and they were not yet in Eretz Yisrael. So where did they get the stalks of the Omer from to be makar the carbon? That's the Gemara Safek. Ask the Ran, I don't understand. You can bring the Omer me'ever ha-yarden also. Let's say you live in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say we have a functioning Beis HaMikdash, everything's fine, and we come to a generation where there happens to be, at the time of the carbon Omer, there's no wheat anywhere. There's no Omer anywhere that we can use. So why is it that we have to take from Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, there's no reason. You could go to Eivra Yarden and take from there also. Lechatchili should take from here. So ask the Ran, what's the Gemara's problem? Mehechani krivi Yisrael Omer bamidbar. Where'd they get the Omer from in the first carbon that they brought, the carbon Omer? What's the problem? You could bring from Eivra Yarden, so they could bring from the Midbar also. Answers the Ran, the reason why is because that was the first carbon Omer. What are you going to say? The first carbon Omer should be from Eivra Yarden? Of course not. The first carbon Omer has to be perfect. First carbon Omer should be from Eretz Yisrael to show that we do everything perfect the first time, and that's what the Gemara is bothered by. How can you have Omer shekriv Yisrael b'midbar? Where'd they bring it from? What are you going to say? They brought it from the Midbar? That's not lechatchila. That's not the best way to do it, and how could it be? It's not conceivable to imagine that the first carbon Omer that was ever brought in history was going to be done on a b'dieved. It had to be done solely lechatchila. There's an interesting Shemi Shmuel where he writes in Parshas Kisetze, where he discusses the Parsha of the Ben Sora Mora. So there he writes that why is it that we have the Parsha Ben Sora Mora only in the first 3 months of the child's life after the Gadlus, after he becomes a Gadol? That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Perek Ben Sora Mora. It's only the first 3 months after Gadlus is the opportunity that the Ben Sora Mora could get Misa, could get this punishment. Why is that? If he's off to such a horrible tendency, we should say at any point in his life when he becomes a Gadol, we should administer the punishment of the Ben Sora Mora. Says the Shemi Shmuel, no, because the Reishis is so important. This is the beginning of his adult life. And if the child is not going to understand, as he's becoming an adult, the first 3 months, as he's getting off, if it's not going to get off to the right start, he's going to have no future. Generally we say, Ba'asher Hushami, judge a person. I'm sorry, there's a whole question by Ben Sora Mora. Do you judge a person based on now? Do you judge a person based on later? It's a major problem when it comes to Ben Sora Mora, but says the Shemi Shmuel, the reason why we're judging him now, based on his future, when we see what he's going to turn into, is because his start is off to a bad start. We see that everything's off to the wrong foot. And if you're off to the wrong foot in the beginning, who knows where it's going to lead in the end? I once saw from the Panovich Rav that he writes a beautiful vart. He says that if a person's building a home, you're building a building. So you have to have somebody come with, I think it's called a leveler, right? The ruler that has the level in it. So I think it's called a leveler. So you have to have someone come and really make sure that the yesodas of the house, to make sure that everything, all the foundation that you're building is absolutely perfect. Imagine. I'm a layman, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm going to go, yeah, it looks pretty straight, start building, start going, imagine, so 3 feet off the ground, no problem, 4 feet off the ground, no problem. When it gets 6 stories up, the building's going to go in a side direction, it's not going to be straight. If you don't have everything absolutely measured, absolutely perfect at the yesod, it's not going to work. So he said, just the Panovich Rav pointed out, a beautiful word, he says, what do you call a leveler in Hebrew? It's an anach, aleph nun chaf. So he writes that perhaps this is the pshat, anochi Hashem Elokecha, that the leveler in my life, every decision that I make, everything that I start in my life has to be the anach shali, ha'anochi shali, has to be Hashem Elokecha. I have to figure out, what does God really want from me? That's the leveler, that's the way I figure out, I determine everything in my life, how am I going to do it? Let's just close with an unbelievable story that Reb Simcha HaKohen Cook says over. And really the story is printed in the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank's Tshuvas, but he doesn't say who it is because he doesn't want to embarrass him. But Reb Cook said the story and said who it was. So the story goes like this, that the Aderes, who was the father-in-law of Rav Kook, he was a Rav in Panovich, and he had a whole terrible history in Panovich. 9 of his 12 children died because the Balabatim were driving him so crazy, and then it's a pretty wild story, and then they wouldn't give him enough money to feed his children. It was really a wild story, and then he was offered the job in Mir, and then once the Balabatim in Panovich found out that he got the job in Mir, so they wanted to pay him more, so he didn't go to Mir. And then to the story, the Aderes came to Yerushalayim. Why did he go to Yerushalayim? Because Rav Shmuel Salant, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim, was getting old, and they thought they have to find a replacement. So let's get this big gadol, the Aderes, to come from Mir, to come from Panovich, and become the Rav in Yerushalayim. In the end, what happened was, Reb Shmuel Salant outlived the Aderes. The Aderes came, he became the assistant chief rabbi, and he never actually lived long enough to become the chief rabbi, because Reb Shmuel Salant had a very, very long Arichas Yamim. That's the end of the story. But basically, the first day on the job, the Aderes comes to Yerushalayim, and he gets there with the remainder of his children, who had not passed away. He gets there, and he's unpacking his suitcases, and Reb Shmuel Salant says to him, well, we have a new rabbi in town. You know what? Tonight is a chasana. I want, all the gedolim are going to be there. I want that everyone should see how much I'm a chavid you, how much I hold of you. I appointed you to be the assistant chief rabbi. Let everyone see how chashiv you are. So tonight, come to the wedding. Instead of me being Masada Kedushin, I'm the chief rabbi. I want you to be Masada Kedushin. Everyone should see that I really hold that you're a chashiv a person. Fancy comes to the wedding. Darius is a little uncomfortable. The gadol ador, Shmuel Salant is there. He feels very uncomfortable, but he says, okay, what can I do? Shmuel Salant wants me to do it, so he's Masada Kedushin. He gets up. And he picks up the cup of wine, he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvar. Instead of making a Baruch Pri HaGafen. So everyone starts screaming and yelling, oh, Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvar. So he says, oh, I'm sorry, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Baruch Pri HaGafen. So everyone starts screaming at him again, what are you doing? Don't you know in Shulchan Aruch it says in Aruch Chaim, Simen Reish Vav, Hilchas Brachas, the Aruch Chaim in Shulchan Aruch, we assume that if you make a Shehakol instead of a Baruch Pri HaGafen, you're Yotzi the Bracha. So they start yelling at the Aderis. First of all, you're Shlamazel, you're making the mistake in the first place. Once you make the mistake, what are you making a bracha again? It's a bracha about Tala. So the whole fight erupts at the wedding. Aderis takes the mic and he says, everybody calm down. I'm sorry, the halacha is, we know that the brachas under Rechupa are made. It's not because the Masada Kedushin has to make the brachas, it's because the Chasan and Kala are chayiv to make the brachas. So really, I'm serving as a shliach of the Chasan and Kala. I'm not making it for myself, I'm making it for them. We have a halacha in Ksubas, the Gemara says, the skuni shadrasich velo lavusi. If I send someone as a shliach to do something for me, and he ends up messing me up, I ask him to be a mekadesh a woman, and he decides to be a mekadesh someone else. I didn't want to marry this someone else. I wanted to marry this girl. So am I stuck with what he did for me? Do you say no? Do you say, I only sent you as a shliach, kol zmani, do what I asked you to do. You decide to do something else, which is to my detriment. I'm not interested in you being a shliach, and the whole shlichus is batal. That's what we assume. So over here he said, if I made a mistake, I said a baruch pri hagafen. Yes, I'm yotze b'di'evin. But the chasen didn't send me to make a bracha b'di'evin for him. He sent me to make a bracha l'chatchila. So it turns out, he sent me to be a shliach to make the bracha. I made the wrong bracha. So what are you going to say? B'di'evin or yotze? What do you mean? B'di'evin? He didn't want me to be a shliach to make a b'di'evin. So I had to go ahead, make the bracha again, because I wasn't able to do the shlichus if I only did a b'di'evin. So very nice, a nice shtickle Torah. This is what he sent under the chuppah. He started yelling at him. Would have liked to be at this wedding. But Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank writes that he was at the wedding and he said it was a rash gadol and everyone was screaming and yelling about it. So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank writes that everyone started screaming again and said, well, it's a nice shtickle Torah. However, what about by Kiddush on Avdallah every week? You make Kiddush, the Balabas makes Kiddush in the house. He's motzi everyone. So what happens? Friday night you make Kiddush and you say, Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvar instead of Baruch Pri HaGafen. Would anyone in the right mind say, the Shulchan Aruch never says anywhere that if you make a mistake on Friday night Kiddush and you're being motzi other people in the bracha, you're so to speak their shaliach. The same way the Masada Kedushin is the shliach of the Chasan and Kala. Nowhere does it say in Shulchan Aruch that you have to go ahead and make Kiddush again and say Baruch Pri HaGafen. So a nice shtickle Torah, but what are you talking about? Why should you have to go back? Well, said the Adair, it's not the same. Over there, that's a regular bracha. Yeah, it can be Yotze B'Diyev. Over here, this is the first time. The first time the Chasan and Kala are having anything to do with their marriage. You're going to go start it on the wrong foot? You're going to start a marriage off on a B'Diyevid? Said the Adair, that cannot be. And therefore, I felt under a chuppah, when I'm getting the couple married and I'm doing something for the first time in their married life, it has to be perfect. It has to be l'chatchila. Forget about my shtickle Torah, but it has to be perfect. And therefore he said, it's much different than Kiddush and Avdallah, which happens every week. Because what you see is like our Gemara says, Aschalto de Paranusa Adifa. The beginning of something really is very critical. It's very important because that is what is going to set the tone for everything that is going to follow. And that's why we assume, like the Chacham Shita, that Tisha B'Av is observed, even though most of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt on a Asiri B'Av, on the 10th day of Av, we have the minhag to observe Tisha B'Av on the 9th day because that's when all of the Purani is started, and the day that something begins is a very critical time in history.